This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one queer story at a time. I'm Paul, and we are all back in the Joy Studios, scanning the queer news of the world. And with me on the Worldwide Wave panel tonight is Shannon.
Hey, everybody.
And Stefan.
Good evening. Now, once upon a time, there was a country in Europe that was trying to ban a book of fairy tales because it included queer characters. And the big bad government made it impossible for people to get official documents in their required gender. This isn't a story, it's real life. And you might think I was talking about Russia or even Poland, but unfortunately this is all happening in one of the nearby neighbours of Hungary.
Tonight we speak with one of the organisations fighting these changes. We're joined by Lisa Duvitz, Communications Officer, and one of the board directors of the Hatter Society, which was formed in 1995, and it is the largest and oldest LGBTI organisation in Hungary, providing support services and advocacy for the community there. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
So if they win the election again next year, we fear what awaits us, because 2020 showed us that it's not just the rhetoric anymore, that they have taken it to the level of policymaking and lawmaking. So if they win again with a two-thirds majority, we are not sure what rights they will strip the community from.
Homosexuality is legal in Hungary for both men and women, and in theory, discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation is banned. However, households headed by same-sex couples are not eligible to the same legal rights available to straight married couples. Same-sex marriage is banned, with the Hungarian government passing legislation recently that restricts the civil rights of LGBT Hungarians. Lisa Duvitz is from Hungary, and we asked her to tell us a little about the Hatter Society and how it supports the community in Hungary.
Hatter Society was founded in 1995, and it is the largest and oldest currently operating lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex organization in Hungary. And we have a very diverse mission and calling. Our aims are calling attention to the problems faced by LGBTQI people, providing support services such as information and counseling hotlines, personal counseling services, peer support groups, an HIV hotline, trainings, research. And we also explore the situation and the needs of LGBTQI people in Hungary, and we mainstream these concerns in laws and public services.
Is Hatter Society quite well known in Hungary, or is it quite well known within the community?
It is very well known in the community. We have been running the information and counseling hotline for 25 years now, mm-hmm. which was, you know, a very avant-garde thing for LGBTQI people back in the 90s, especially in Central Eastern Europe. And in recent years, we have been getting a lot more traction in the majority population as well, because of the mainly the government rhetoric and our efforts to push back against those very homophobic and transphobic steps, especially with our recent campaigns. I think we have been getting a lot more well-known.
We recently came across a story about the television watchdog taking action against a pro-LGBT advert. That was the Hatter Society's advert, wasn't it?
Yes, that was. The context of the story is that in November, the parliament has submitted a bill that makes single-parent adoption even more difficult in Hungary. In Hungary, same-sex couples cannot adopt jointly. Only married couple can do that, and only straight couples can get married. The new bill that was submitted and later, unfortunately, accepted in Parliament states that from now on, it's not the experts who will make the decision on which a single parent is able to adopt, because, you know, they need to do a psychological evaluation, also a kind of an environmental evaluation about accommodation, your situation, where you stand in life. And these evaluation processes will be intact, but it will not be the experts who decide based on the evaluations, but the Ministry of Family Affairs, who has been very homophobic since basically she has gotten a political position. So in our opinion, this is a very obvious step to ban LGBTQI people from adopting children and from starting families. We started a campaign. It has been in the works for months, but it came, it went live. It launched in just a week after the bill was submitted to Parliament. And it was called Families Family. And it featured rainbow families and experts who talked about how it is love and care that makes a family and not, you know, being a straight couple or being married. And we had these videos, because it was a video campaign, also featured on a TV channel that is German-owned, and it is quite well-known in Hungary. The Hungarian media watchdog indeed launched a legal procedure against the TV channel because they received some anonymous complaints. And they are claiming that because the videos were experts and rainbow families talk about how you know, the very basis of parenthood is love and caring for your child. So this video was, according to the media watchdog, so disturbing for under 16 years old that it might have made irreparable damage to them. So that is what was going on in the last 2 weeks. We think that this decision to launch these legal procedures is just another, you know, state-fueled homophobia.
So are they taking the action against the TV
channel? The TV channel.
Yeah.
Yes, but since it was our advertisement, we have requested to be part of the legal procedure and represent ourselves as well.
That was Lusa Duvitz from the Hatter Society in Hungary. This evening we're sort of talking about fairy tales. Is there any particular fairy tale that you relate to?
Or a character?
Or your character?
I could write a thesis on Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
Yeah, could be here for a long time.
Well, we've only got just under 50 minutes. Do you think is that long enough?
Condense it.
I'll do my best, or I'll just meet you all out afterwards.
So what was the character you identified with? Yes, and if it was an LGBT character?
Now, getting back to the interview, I was actually quite impressed that how old the Hatter Society is, because it got formed in the 1990s, which is quite remarkable for a Central Eastern European country that was technically under Soviet control.
Yeah, so Hungary was under Soviet control in the past, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was quite relaxed, yeah, I remember, for Hungary. Mm-hmm. But it's still quite an achievement too.
Well, especially when you see how it's gone now with the political party at the helm of the country. It's quite... I mean, it's good that they had this really strong society to then be able to do something when all these things are now happening.
And all the services that they provide. I was trying to think of an equivalent one in the West or in Australia or the UK, and I couldn't think of an equivalent one where they provide... know, support, they provide advocacy, they basically anything to do with LGBTI, you go to the Hatter Society in Hungary.
So do you think there's a need for these thing in other countries? I mean, we've seen that they were really developed in Hungary and now there's a really big need. So is it this thing again where we can't foresee what's going to happen? It could happen here.
Well, I think what it does show is you can't just take your rights for granted.
Something we're reminded of often when we do these interviews.
We are, yeah.
Yeah. As even here, we need organisations like Joy that promote and advocate for the LGBTI community. We need to have a voice out there, even if we think, well, even if we've got certain rights. I imagine it's quite difficult in places like Russia and Poland in Europe to actually have that kind of organisation. Also, their family is family. Now, it sort of is an obvious point that you don't need to be a straight couple or a straight married couple to love children.
Yeah, but it's often an area where, you know, where there are problems in society and there are dissenting views yeah. on that. I think, you know, you can't love a child if you're not a traditional family, male, female, you know, all these things. And that's a sticking point in a lot of countries, don't know.
Yeah, we've had plenty of advocates here, right, who have said that. They haven't even said, though, that, you know, like queer people can't, you know, love children. They've just said this is what we believe is the best for kids. And therefore, that's what we're going to legislate for. And it's, I mean, yeah, it is pretty, you know, narrow-minded and short-sighted.
Yeah, because you would think that a kid in foster care or in would just want a loving
supportive
environment.
I think that's again part of the winding back the rights that they've done in Hungary since, I mean, they started before COVID, but I know last year they passed a bill during COVID on the auspice of something else, and so it's all they changed the definition of marriage, so it's all happening.
Coming up, we find out why a book of modern fairy tales became a bestseller in Hungary, despite some in Hungarian government trying hard to get it banned. You're on the World Wide Wave.
This is Tiseke Kasambalas from Human Rights Watch, South Africa office, on the World Wide Wave.
Now, we could go back to Shannon, and what's your theory on Belle then?
I just don't think the ending makes any sense. I think that they should have kept with the initial narrative. You know, I really identified from a country town, read a lot of books, no interest in a man. All the other women fawned over him, loved him, thought he's the height of masculinity. I love him. And she was like, no, I'm not interested. I don't like you. I don't want it. And I'm like, perfect. I found myself in a Disney character. I never thought I would, but I did. And then she marries the Beast and I'm lost. I'm gone. I don't know.
So right up until the end, you were Belle.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Now, a book of modern fairy tales, including LGBTI characters, has become a political hot potato in Hungary. While the book was designed to be a way to introduce children to the diverse way, to the diverse world they live in, the consumer authority in Hungary has decided that the book needs a health warning for including people that deviate from the traditional norm. Lucy Dovich from the Hatters Society explained the situation and how the society is fighting the decision.
The whole storybook was, I think this is the most well-known storybook now in Hungary. It came out in September. It was published by Labrys Lesbian Association. And, you know, it was supposed to be a few hundred copies, I think 2,000 copies. And then a far-right politician held a press release and a press conference, sorry. And at the press conference, she shredded the book because she said it was, you know, very damaging to children. The, you know, the public attention obviously picked up on it. And the internet exploded. There were a lot of memes, a lot of articles about it. And the book sold out overnight. And right now, I think there has been more than 20,000 copies sold. They had to republish it, I think, at this point, 3 times.
So totally the opposite effect that they expected, no doubt. Yeah.
Yes, yes. But, you know, it was quite a politicized topic. Everyone was kind of buying the book and posting about it, kind of as an act of resistance. Our approach is that, you know, then you get to the point of destroying books that is not just a shredder, that is a very that is an action that that speaks volumes about how you treat minority groups.
So what's the current status with that?
The Hungarian Consumer Protection Authority says that the Lovers Lesbian Association needs to put a warning on the book that warns them that the book includes patterns of behavior that deviate from the traditional gender roles. And their problem was also that they argued that the illustration of the fairy tale collection did not suggest that the book of the content of the book goes beyond the usual content of fairy tales. Now, this book, I mean, it includes elderly and Roma people, people living in poverty, adopted children, and you know, heroic girls. And there are also lesbian, gay, and trans characters. So there were a lot of groups that were represented in the book. And it was kind of, we think it's an important thing to present a book that talks about social diversity in a manner that is very age appropriate for children. You know, a lot of far-right people have been claiming that, you know, oh, this is just part of the gay agenda. We think that, you know, a book where lesbian and gay and trans characters appear just like heterosexual characters would in traditional fairy tales is, you know, completely fine. And it just teaches children that the society that they are part of is diverse and, you know, colorful. So yeah. There has been obviously no mention of sex or sexuality whatsoever. It's just a happily ever after between two girls.
Has the legal case started to challenge that?
It's just the beginning. So legal procedures in Hungary usually go on for years and years. And Hatter Society with our legal aid service will be representing the Labrisas Lesbian Association in court. But there has been no developments on the case since it came out in January.
Given that you've got politicians and you've got national bodies that are working so hard against the community, what is it like to be part of the community in Hungary at the moment?
I think the last 1 year for the LGBTQI community in Hungary has been really, really hard. When the pandemic started, at the peak of the very first wave, the government submitted the bill that later banned legal gender recognition for trans and intersex people, which is, you know, which impacts trans and intersex people a lot. I mean, to not be able to obtain documents that are in line with your gender is just so hard for them and so difficult, because at every point of life they have to come out. If they are going to the bank, if they're going to the post office to, you know, a job interview, or they are, you know, getting back to school or in education, they have to present these documents that state a name and the gender that they do not live by anymore. And, you know, to being forced to come out like that every time an interaction like that happens puts them at risk of discrimination, of harassment, and it also negatively affects their mental health as well. Our information and counseling hotline has received a lot of calls that talk about how hopeless and helpless trans and intersex people feel. And legal gender recognition evaluations have stopped basically in 2016. So it hasn't really been possible in the last 5 years. But there is a very clear difference between, okay, so the government isn't evaluating them right now, but, you know, we were fighting against these in different courts. And to know that right now, in law, it says that your biological gender cannot be changed at all. So that also makes a very clear distinction. And trans activists have been leaving the country since before the legal gender recognition ban happened. But we fear that more and more trans people will move abroad because, you know, they are able to obtain some kind of documentation that is, you know, in line with their lived gender. And they are also less likely to be harassed or discriminated against.
From the Hatter Society in Hungary, that was Lucia Dudic on Joy 94.9. Now, a health warning on the book.
On a children's book of nursery of fairy tales.
A health warning. It's just reminiscing of, you know, the WHO mental health disease, all this thing. Like, it's actually having this character can cause a disease. I understand it's about the trauma.
That's what they're claiming, that this book would be traumatizing for underage, well, for preteen
They got that on every fairy tale.
Well, yeah, because they should be on every fairy tale.
Because some of them are fairly gruesome.
A young girl goes into the woods to see her grandmother, then get eaten by a wolf. If that's not traumatizing... Honestly, if you're not traumatized by that, you're not going to be traumatized by anything.
Or a brother and sister go into the woods and get... they then get captured by a witch who then wants to eat them.
Just the volume of stepmothers who are out to kill their stepchildren is alarming.
Yeah. We have actually had a message in.
Oh, we do have a message. So
I'm not sure this one counts because I'm not sure if the Lion King is actually a fairy tale, but we'll take it.
It's Jimmy from Collingwood telling us that the Scar from the Lion King was the unmarried uncle that people didn't talk about.
I mean, mind blown. Huge change to everything I've thought about the Lion King.
What, you didn't get that from its character, that's the way that Jeremy Irons was playing it?
I'm starting to think I might be on Scar's side.
But with this book now, with the health warning, I think it actually made the book very popular.
Yeah, they were
in Hungary. It's because it was published. How many copies did they have originally?
Well, 200 was original. That they originally planned to put out. And I think she said that they've republished it two or three times. It's now like 2,000 copies. So it's actually been, unfortunately, but in a way, good advertising for them.
It's been good advertising. It's also a really good format because, you know, they are accessible characters. And for children, it's really a good way of getting into, you know, and that's probably why they want this health warning, because it might resonate too much and all that. But
oh, yes, I hadn't thought about that. It'd actually be too successful, so they want to make sure it gets put on the top shelf.
And a plastic wrapper.
Yeah, so they can't see it. Because they were complaining about the pictures in the book. Not that they were explicit or anything, but they said that the pictures didn't indicate that there was anything unusual about the book.
So, well, but there's nothing unusual about the book.
No, it's just a book of fairy tales.
So, yeah, it's all... I mean, again, it's showing that the government is being regressive and, you know, and there's the Hatter site is doing something, but, I mean, it is a little bit hard to imagine here. But we've seen, you know, only yesterday that the... we should feel lucky for not being shot at in the street when demonstrating. So,
yeah, huge. I mean, yeah. I mean, I was, you know, out yesterday. I'd like to say that I tried to stay safe, and I mean, you know, huge. Mm. I mean, it's just such an odd statement to say that I'm still, even when I think about it, still completely shocked that.
So yeah, I think my point was, you know, this thing can happen, and this thing we do have the leadership in the country that could have such decision. Coming up next, we ask Lucia, if hate crimes against the community have increased in Hungary given the anti-LGBTI stance of the government. This is Worldwide Wave.
Dzień dobry, I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave.
We are in Hungary, and from what we've heard, the ruling party and by extension the national bodies in Hungary are removing rights from the LGBTI community and fostering a homophobic and transphobic atmosphere. We asked Lucy Duvitz whether the Hatter Society had noticed an increase in hate crime against the community.
Oh, so the issue is that hate crimes against minority groups are really underreported in general. But when it comes to hate crimes against LGBTQI people, according to our knowledge, around 6 or 8% of hate crimes ever get reported to the police, which is obviously a very, very low number. Most victims are afraid that the authorities would again be discriminatory or homophobic or transphobic against them, or that nothing would happen to the perpetrator. Which is very sad, and we are working with several NGOs are working on changing the legal procedures and the legal policies when it comes to hate crimes. But our legal aid service and also our hotlines have received a lot of calls and cases that talk about hate crimes and violence and discrimination. When it comes to our hotline, those cases, even though they are encouraged to, you know, take legal action, obviously this is just an anecdotal evidence.
Do you think that the general population of Hungary is supportive or at least accepting?
So that's a difficult question. In numbers, we have seen a decrease in tolerance since 2016-ish. The ILGA Europe numbers have also been going down, which is very sad. But there has been two developments that make us hopeful. One is the Family is Family campaign that has been supported widely across society. It was a social media campaign that was actively engaging people. And for example, Hungary has a population of around, I think, 12 million-ish people. And we launched the campaign. More than 1 million people have watched the videos. The hashtags, the social media interaction has been very high. And it has been discussed in a lot of public spaces. And that was kind of the support that we did not expect, but we were very happy for. And there was actually a second round in the campaign where embassies and also brands joined. And I think it was a big step for brands to join because we have been running sensitivity trainings for the past years. And we have been encouraging firms and, corporations to support their LGBTQI employees openly. And a lot of times they have been, changing their policies, but they haven't been communicating that to the public. And with this step that they took to proudly say that we support the Families Family campaign and we think that rainbow families are also families, that was a big step. So we are very happy about that. And I'm not sure if you have heard about the SIRE thing that went down in December. So an MEP of Hungary, who has been a member of Fidesz since the 80s, was found in Brussels at an orgy in December. I think that was quite world famous in December. That was a few days before the adoption bill was changed in parliament. But, Saja Jozsef has been a member party of Fidesz for 30 years. He hasn't really been outspoken about his support for LGBTQI people. He has been in Brussels for more than 15 years. So he has been enjoying, the benefits and fruits of a liberal democracy in Brussels. Meanwhile, his party was, pushing back and taking steps against the LGBTQI community and its people. And one of the research centers have completed a survey, within a week of the news breaking about his participation at the gay orgy in Brussels. And 78% of people said that even a gay politician should not be discriminated against and should be able to live his life freely. So that is the best number when it came to, acceptance of tolerance of gay people in the last 30 years.
I just wanted to... Is there anyone in politics or is there a party that actually is supportive of the community at all?
Yes, so there are several politicians who are out and they have been very supportive of the community, but also politicians who are, for example, from the right. They have also spoken out against the ban on legal gender recognition. But also a lot of opposition parties actually joined the Families Family campaign, and some of them even put changing the adoption bill into their campaign. There is not a consensus of opposition parties. For example, Jobbik, a center-right party, is against same-sex adoption, but I think there is a good amount of support from political parties.
Thank you very much for joining me. Well, for me this evening, for you this morning. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to World Wide Wave, and there's a little bit of good news in Hungary. I mean, relatively, because on Friday, so just last week, the Constitutional Court decided that the people who have changed gender in and had been and recognized in official document, they could not, you know, they could not, the legislation that Lusa talks about could not be retroactive. So there's still, you know, there's still the redefinition of the marriage, the limited gay adoption, all those things. But retroactive legislation has been deemed unconstitutional. So anybody that has transitioned before May 2020 and has gained legal recognition cannot have their gender revert to their birth.
I mean, that is a little bit of good news, but Lusa pointed out, they actually haven't been doing any of the conversion documentation since 2016.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, it's a step forward.
The silver lining is getting thinner and thinner.
It is. So, I mean, do you think, I mean, we've talked about this in previous episodes about how the EU, you know, there's a lot of pink washing, I think one interview referred to before, when countries want to join the EU and the EU is not doing much. When this thing happened,
I think they do it when they want to join. Yeah. So you've got to have certain things in place to actually join. What I don't think they do is they don't check afterwards.
And I mean, just maybe we should make them places have to constantly reapply or something, or do you know, like, have to show they're doing something? Because I mean, I don't know if the answer can also be like, well, then, I mean, the other side is like, well, then what? We don't do anything, yeah, even when they join.
But I don't know if they have the power to check, and I don't know if they have the this infrastructure to be able to do that.
And given what's happened with the UK and actually how they, I don't think that they certainly wouldn't want to actually throw anyone out, because that would be so painful. Yeah.
But then, you know, having these kind of aggressive laws, would it be a risk with other countries? To stop trade? I mean, we can't stop trade in the EU. So I mean, the same thing. It's very difficult, I think, in this bloc to do something.
Yeah, I don't think it would be possible to actually have sanctions within the EU. I don't think that would. Although I think Germany does come out and say, because they came out against Poland.
Yeah, that's right. So,
well, Angela Merkel is a bit of a de facto leader
of the whole thing.
Yeah, for like a lot of Europe, isn't she? I mean, she does have a certain
That's
voice.
That's controversial.
Well, I just think she does have a certain voice in the EU, you know, generally. And I guess worldwide, especially recently, hasn't she? You know, yeah, she's been a bit more of a... Right,
but then her party hasn't done very well in the local elections.
No.
No, because she's stepping down, so I think it's the person, and we've seen that in... But on a positive note, there are some part of the government that support some...
Yes, there are the opposition. Some of the opposition does. Unfortunately, it's not very cohesive. So you've got parts of the opposition that don't agree with the same-sex adoption. You've got ones that do. I mean, I was quite surprised when she said there actually were out politicians. I didn't think they would have those in Hungary.
I think that's surprising, because you would think it might be a risk to their career to do that.
And it was quite amusing when she brought up the one that was outed in Brussels, because I remember that story.
Oh, yes.
He was trying to escape down a
drain
pipe.
Through a window or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
From a gay orgy.
Whoa.
Well.
Hi, this is Robert Beachy. I'm the author of Gay Berlin, speaking from South Korea on the World Wide Wave.
You are listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. Just a shout out for our brand new website. So Joy has redesigned its website. It has, don't worry, it has all the news and podcasts that you are come to love are still there. All our podcasts, yes, which are available on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. And there's news about something big that's coming up, but I will leave that as a surprise.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Now, tonight we have heard from Lusa Dudic from the Hatter Society in Hungary. And Lusa told us all about what's happening in Hungary, and really a big thank you to her. She's the communication officer and one of the director of the society in Hungary, and they do a fantastic work to promote LGBTIQ rights, advocacy, counselling. They've got a whole range of services that really are fantastic. And you can have a look at their English website, which is en.hawter.hu.
We'd also like to thank everyone that interacted with us on Facebook. So that's Deed, Nave, Rachel, William, and the Heatmore. Now, we're very easy to find on Facebook. We are W3Joy, or just look up World Wide Wave.
And thank you so much to the two people who make this possible behind the scenes, our podcaster, Peter, and our absolute social media master, Dean.
And also thank you to Jimmy from Collingwood for reaching out with an SMS.
I still don't think that counts because it's not a
changed
fairy
my entire
tale.
My entire relationship with the Lion King.
That is our show for tonight. Good evening. Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.